thank you, thank you, thank you. You're far too kind.
Yeah.
Ready?
Can I get an encore?
Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to roll.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Out of Bounds with Jay and Chelsea, except it's not Chelsea. We have Gabe on the line. What's up, Gabe?
Howdy, howdy.
How you doing?
Good.
Good to have you in the studio.
Oh, my pleasure.
Miss Chelsea, as you guys all know, she's doing her little job training in L.A. for Ruth Chris. You know, she's going to be a little superstar sales coordinator over there. So she's doing that, and she's kind of been MIA. Like, she's no text messaging, no Facebooking, no... I don't know what's going on over in L.A.
She find the love of her life out there?
You know, Chelsea, you never know. You never know with Chelsea. But I know she's working hard, and they're training her to be the marketing and sales for all the catering for Ruth Chris out here. So, you know, it's a great move for her. So,
absolutely.
You know, Chelsea, we miss you. But I like Gabe
absolutely.
In the studio. Gabe's good.
I appreciate
we
it.
We get into some good conversations.
Every once in a while, absolutely.
How was your weekend?
Where do we start? Where do we start? The Bayou. Went down to New Orleans with some friends for Buddy's bachelor party. And New Orleans bachelor party. I mean, what else
there needs you go.
To be said? Had an absolute blast. Ended up putting on about 12 pounds. The food down there is absurd.
Absurd.
Alligator and shrimp cheesecake
Can you walk me through this? Because it sounds amazing yet weird.
I think it was so good. I think I blacked out. I don't even remember it. I just know it was ridiculous and it was the talk of our trip. And I'm trying to convince my buddy now to have it at his wedding. But apparently it's
what it was has, the restaurant?
Giacomo's, which is this phenomenal restaurant. It's not hoity-toity at all. It looks like a neighborhood restaurant, but the food there is ridiculous. The fried chicken
came up with that.
The fried chicken was the best fried chicken I've ever had in my life. It was so moist, but crisp on the outside. It was perfect. The cornbread was ridiculous.
They put anything in the cornbread?
No.
Just straight cornbread.
Well, I guarantee you it. Ton of butter.
Oh, well, of course. That's the only way to eat cornbread.
So good. So good. Even the charbroiled oysters that they had there with the little Parmesan on top. Oh, so good.
See, I'm hungry now. And I've actually been craving good fried chicken lately. There's nowhere here. Somebody was telling me, I think Michelle Sparks in Transit were telling me about some place called Mrs. White's.
Yes, it's right by the stadium.
Yes.
It's been on like Diners, Drive-In and Dives and all those places.
I have not been there yet, and I guess they're not open all the time. So every time I'm around there, they're not open. So
it's visible from the
I guess it's worth the drive down there. I mean, not that we live that far from it. So I might have to go check that out. So did you sleep for a while when you came back?
Yeah, let's just say I was tired. It was it was a lot of going out on Frenchman Street till 2-3 in the morning, then you know, being intoxicated enough to do Bourbon Street for a few hours.
Got
to
be careful on Bourbon Street, people.
Yes, you do. And in you more do. Ways
We're
than
not
one.
Even, yeah,
in which, more ways than one.
You got to watch which establishments you walk in. I'm just saying. And for the dudes that have been on Bourbon Street, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you might want to check that the ratio of index finger and ring finger.
Yeah,
on check whoever you're,
Adam's apple,
whoever you're hitting
things
on.
Like that. So, you know, I mean, whatever, alternative lifestyles.
That's just, hey, but,
hey,
you know.
When you're drunk, just be careful.
Just make sure you know what you're doing.
Exactly. And don't let your friends try to talk you into anything. Not at all. Okay, too many camera phones nowadays.
Yeah, no kidding.
My weekend was a lot of stuff with the girls. We had a big, huge photo shoot at this mansion out on the backside of Camelback that looked out over Paradise Valley.
Oh, nice.
And the house was just sick. We're going to have some really cool pictures coming from that. Bree Collins is the one that put that together for us. And then Sunday we had our little workshop with all the girls so I could, you know, check them out, critique them, things like that. Get it, you know, get them together. It was kind of one of those team building weekends. It was funny after the weekend, because we've had a lot of team building things lately, you know, with the promoters and the photographers and stuff.
Right.
Brie comes up to me and she's like, yeah, I think we've had enough team building stuff for about a month. So we're going to give the girls a little bit of a break and no more team building and kind of do their own thing. So
nice.
But who's at Wild Night tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night.
Or actually tonight when you guys hear this on Friday.
Lazy Rich is going to be in there tomorrow.
Good producer.
Pretty good up-and-coming guy. I know he's only been out about 4 or 5 years, but
he's already young.
Worked with some pretty huge names. So I'm kind of excited to check him
definitely
out.
Definitely going to be great. It'll be great music for sure.
Yeah.
So how was – you weren't there for Bingo Players.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, wait, how was it?
It was the night before.
Right.
I know. I wasn't there for Bingo Players.
The pool.
I was there for Bingo Players at Wild Night. I heard Bingo Players at the pool was fantastic. I heard it was an absolute blast. So that seemed to have gone well. And if it's anything like their performance at Wild Night, it's a guaranteed hit.
Those guys just put on a great show.
Absolutely.
Just a great show. Absolutely. And I missed almost all of it. I missed all of it, actually. We didn't even get out of the photo shoot thing till, man, it was like 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
So that was a long day for the girls because they started at 9.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was very interesting. I don't think this guy knew. When he agreed to let us use the house, I don't think he quite knew what was going to go on. That he was going to have 3/4 naked girls running around his house the whole entire time.
I'm sure he wasn't complaining.
No, definitely wasn't complaining. He has, dude, I got to give him credit. He's got a bocce ball thing in his backyard.
Nice.
Yeah, and he has tournaments. He has a trophy for one of them. He has a big WWE belt for another one. It was awesome. I'm like, that's the game.
Going Aaron Rodgers with it?
Yeah, going Aaron Rodgers with it. I'm like, that's the game of my Italians. We created that game. That's our game. And I've never seen a bocce ball court in anybody's backyard.
Yeah, not too common.
So, and he had the stone ball. It was great. It was awesome. So, and then I watched some hockey, watched some basketball. Relatively chill weekend. Watched the Lakers go down.
Unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah, Gabe is the Laker fan.
But
yes.
I'm a realistic Laker fan.
I mean, there is a lot of unrealistic Laker fans out there. There's actually a lot of unrealistic Laker players out there, and we could start with Meta World Peace and him coming out saying that the Lakers are the best team in the NBA.
No shot.
And they have the better players, and if this would have happened and that would have happened, and yo, dude.
The Lakers were a 6-7 seed caliber team. Before the Sessions trade. The Sessions trade gave them a little bit of legitimacy.
Yep.
They don't get past Utah or Denver without Sessions.
I agree with that. I definitely agree.
It didn't create that big of a jump that all of a sudden they become a contender.
Right.
It's still not deep enough.
And I blame that, and we talked about this on the way here. That's kind of Denver not having a closer.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They could have closed that out in 6.
Yeah.
You know? But they just, you know, I want the closure to be Gallinari, but apparently that's not going to be it.
Every once in a while, I'm sure he will, but I just don't know that he has it in him to carry a team, though.
I think that's their main offseason thing right now is go find a closer. Because I think they're a good young team, and I think they're one player away from being able to take that, I don't know if you want to say championship step, but getting into the second, third round, maybe, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, making it... I mean, I like the team, you know? So, you know, we'll see what they do, but it definitely... I don't think they make it... Or I don't think the Lakers make it past them without Sessions.
No, definitely not. You saw just how they let Denver back into the series.
Yeah.
You don't... You know, if they don't have Sessions there, if they're still trying to guard point guards with Blake and you know, that's a disaster.
Where did he come from?
Blake,
yeah,
is this his second year?
Second year.
Yeah, he came from. I don't remember where he came from, but you know, he was a reliable player with an outside shot.
Why do I want to say he came from Houston?
I wanted to say Houston.
Yeah,
too,
that's so what I was thinking.
What it is?
That's what I was thinking. So it's just he just doesn't. I don't know. He just doesn't seem like he fits on that team well.
Well, he's not a true point guard in the right. sense that you can rely on him defensively. He's a nice guy to bring off the bench. He's not going to make mistakes,
right.
But he's not, definitely not going to win any games for
you. Do you think not having Derek Fisher hurt them in that, or did bearing?
It helped them, I love D. Fish as a person, great person, and he's been huge so many times in the past, but he's past his prime. He's done. He can't defend anybody.
In the same line, I don't think he helped, Oklahoma City get past,
Maybe
locker room stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Maybe as a presence in the locker room, he might be a benefit and be an asset. But on the floor, maybe he hits an open shot just because everybody's going to give him 10 feet of space because
right.
no one respects his game right. anymore. So he might help you in that regard, but definitely not a guy you're going to rely on.
Do you think that series was the changing of the guard in the West?
I think that had already happened. Just like I told you, I thought the Lakers were a 6-7 seed already going into it. I think everybody already had
yeah.
the Thunder going all the way.
I mean, technically, before there could be a changing of the guard, the Thunder needs to get past the Spurs.
That's very true.
I think that with their 18 wins in a row right now, Pop is doing a great job. He should be Coach of the Year this year.
He should be Coach of the Year every year.
No, this is true. He's got, without a doubt, the most boring team in the NBA.
But he gets his guys to run his
yes,
system.
Absolutely.
And they all fall in line and run the system perfectly.
I think this is, and this is along the lines of something we were talking about on the way here, this is that classic youth and athleticism versus experience.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know. I see in this situation, I want to sit there and say OKC is going to make it through because I can't stand the Spurs. But with the way the Spurs are playing right now, I don't know. I think they might be able to break that team down.
I still think the athleticism carries through. And if you looked at the rosters from a talent standpoint, you go, this is a sweep. But it's not going to be.
Spurs right,
will
exactly.
find a way to at least strip two games in the series.
You take the top three Thunder and the top three Spurs, it's kind of a no-brainer. I mean, I know you got, the people were calling him legendary Tim Duncan out there, and you got Tony Parker, and you got all that. But I think that in this time, guys like Kevin Durant, I mean, James Harden, it's going to be tough for them, but I would not be surprised if the Spurs won. I wouldn't be surprised if the Spurs won the whole entire thing.
You really?
No, yeah.
I do not see that coming. As much as I respect Popovich and as much as they're crafty and they're veterans, it's still a long stretch, and you still need talent. Still overcomes,
right?
There's only been one year in my lifetime where the most talented team didn't win at all. That's when the Pistons beat the Lakers. But that's because the Lakers were an absolute S show.
Right.
With the whole Shaq-Kobe feud.
Right. Yeah, I coming into the playoffs, like I said with Chelsea, we were talking about it, and it would not surprise me to see in the shortened season, you got the veteran teams that have played together and that know each other getting through these series and it being a Spurs-Celtics matchup.
God, that'd be boring as hell, wouldn't it?
It would be the worst possible thing that David Stern could have happen to the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of people... I don't think... If outside of San Antonio and Boston, everybody wants to see Oklahoma City and Miami.
And I think right now that's what stands to happen. But it is interesting to see just how everybody now has a solid puncher's chance at the thing with Bosch being down.
Yeah, I agree.
It's allowed Indiana to remain in the series, even though it might end in the next 30 seconds or so.
But yeah, we're at 97-91 with 2:24 left right now.
Yeah, Miami should close that out because they do have
two Dwayne closers. Wade, 39 points, by the way.
Yeah.
So, when Bosch went down, it's funny because he's the one that's gotten the most crap from everybody on that team. Like, he's irrelevant, and he's not this, and he's not that. The dude's still a star. And him not being in that lineup really shows.
He's a presence
yeah.
down low. No matter what you think, is he going to be a guy that carries your team? No, but you put a gun in my head and you tell me, do you want Bosch or not? Give me Bosch down low. Absolutely. If not, what? You go Donis Haslam and...
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, if they don't win it again this season, what do you think happens to this team? Do you think they hold them together for another year, or do you think one of those three is gone?
They hold them back. If they don't win it this year, they'll point to the Bosch injury as the reason
why it didn't happen. And then go at it one more year.
Right, because they'll say they didn't have the depth in big men.
And that's legit.
It's absolutely true.
Absolutely legit.
And that would be the rational way of looking at it.
Right. And I think in some places you'd be like, oh, it's just an excuse. Not in this case. I think they found out how important Bosch really is. I think the NBA found out how important Bosch is to that team.
Absolutely. You know? And they're seeing it right now in the games that Miami struggles here and there because they just get exposed down low.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, if they don't win again, everybody's going to be all over LeBron and, you know. And
yeah. But the people who actually know the game and know what's going on will legitimately be able to point to
the Bosch. Well, you know, here's one of my things. Everybody's like, oh, well, Chicago didn't win it because of Derrick Rose. When he comes back, they'll be fine. It's kind of not the same caliber of player, but it's kind of the situation. You know, if Bosch isn't there, man, I think Miami is already sitting there waiting for Boston or Philadelphia.
Right.
You know, a long time ago. So, I mean, I've always liked Chris Bosch. He says some stupid things. He does some stupid things. Sure. But when he gets on the court, he's a baller. And I think ever since he got called out last year in the playoffs, he has been a completely different player. Completely different player. So, you know, I want them to move on because I think it'll be the better finals if you get OKC.
Correct.
Even San Antonio and Miami would be fine. I just don't want it to be Boston.
It won't be Boston. I mean, Boston's having a hard time with Philly right now.
That's true.
And Philly has no business, you know, finding itself in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right. I agree. I mean, now, they're a good young team, and I think they're going to be better next year.
Sure.
But not right now.
No.
Not right now. So, do you see they gave Allen Iverson a game ball and everything?
that was neat to see.
That was really cool. I mean, I've always liked you know, Allen Iverson, great player. Little strange now, but you know, I mean, he's lived a different kind of life.
Absolutely, but you have to respect the guy.
Absolutely.
Probably one of the toughest players who's ever played the game. That 5'10" and just getting knocked around and just getting up and every time.
And, you know, we're talking about on the way over here all these great players and where they fit and, you know, and legends and this and that and this and that. Allen Iverson's one of those players that I don't think people forget. That's a guy that is, when you think of some of the point guards in the league, Allen Iverson's been one of the funnest ones to watch in his whole entire career.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Anybody who watched basketball in that era, in the era where AI was involved, will forever remember AI.
Oh, without a doubt.
And his contributions.
I remember when he put out his first pair of tennis shoes. I got them. I had the first pair of AIs. So the other series is Boston and Indiana, or Boston and Philly. And who do you think is going to come out of this?
Boston will come out of it. Talent will eventually, you know, overcome. But Boston looks real shaky.
They look old.
They are. They'll slide past Philly barely, and then they're going to get their butts handed to them by Miami.
I mean, I could see a sweep going in that one because I think Miami's ready to just get there.
Yeah,
and then just kind of go from there. So,
and even though Miami has, you know, the Bosch injury, Indiana is probably the perfect team to take advantage of that and isn't going to be able to do so.
Right, right. Now, why do you say that they're the perfect team to take advantage of that?
Well, when you got Hansbrough, you got Hibbard, they got some big guys down low that could expose that weakness, and here's Miami just completely overcoming it.
Oh, yeah. And I like the attitude that Indiana's thrown in this series, you know, not backing down. I mean, to me, that's what the NBA playoffs are. You know, put it out there, put it all on the table, and go.
Miami's getting Indiana's A effort,
yeah,
and they're still going to still going to take them out.
And in fact, we're at there's 20 seconds left right now. Miami's up 105-93, so this is pretty much done deal.
Blouses.
So now we have our third team, and now we're just waiting for one more team. Mm-hmm. So, and we get that. I think the game is actually Saturday. Saturday it is. Yeah. So we'll find out then. So, got into an interesting conversation today about dream teams.
Okay.
And it started by my boy Nick out in LA posting Kobe 13 or 14 all NBA teams, Jordan 11. And this is, he was on his way of saying that Kobe is better than Michael.
That's absurd. I'm a Laker fan, yes. Laker lover. I love Kobe to death. He's incredibly determined, one of the top 10 greatest players to play in the NBA.
Without a doubt.
But Jordan's number one.
Yeah, I mean,
and Jordan forever will be number one.
Well, you know, and this is the one thing that I brought up is, you know, Jordan played 12 full seasons.
Right.
He was 11 times all NBA. And in half of those seasons, he won a title.
He stepped out for 2 years in his prime.
Yeah.
What else could he have accomplished?
Yeah.
Everyone says he won back-to-back-to-back championships twice. He won 6 titles. He could have won 8 in a row.
Yeah.
Had he kept playing those 2 years.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. You know, I don't remember if it was you that I was talking to about the real reasons that Michael Jordan went to play baseball.
Yes.
Gabe, tell us your theory.
The conspiracy that Mr. Michael Jordan had an affinity for gambling.
Which he did. Well documented.
Absolutely. He'll admit it himself. Was caught gambling, and to save face, Mr. Stern pulled him aside and said, "You're going to retire. You're going to leave for 2 years. Feel free to do as you wish. And then we'll discuss possibly coming back after that." Jordan comes up with a reason, says, you know, says he's tired, says he wants to go out, ends up pursuing baseball just to fill up his own time,
because
he's so dang athletic, he can even go figure that out.
Right.
You know, and then he comes back. But I don't think that was a retirement, as more it was Mr. Stern pushing him out of the game and trying to save the NBA's face.
And if that, we'll never know. I mean, who knows? Not. Maybe we may.
Oh, please, like Stern's ever going to admit to that.
It is a very viable theory. You know, I mean, because really, who is going to sit there in the peak of their career when they could win, like you said, right, 8-9 in a row, and going to be like, you know, but what? I'm just going to go try and hit some balls for
you
a while.
You win 3 in a row at the peak of your career, and you're as competitive as
that's
Michael
what I was
Jordan.
Just going to say. The
Are
competitiveness.
You kidding me? There's no way in heck you walk away from the opportunity of solidifying your place as the greatest player.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it is. That was the first time I'd actually ever heard that when we talked about it, and you know, I brought it up to Halasy, and you know, he didn't disagree with it for sure, you know, and it's that competitive nature in Michael Jordan that you sit back and you're like, wait a minute, why would he just do that?
Right.
You know, and some people will say, well, because he already mastered that, he wanted to go try. That's not who Michael Jordan is. He wants to drive the nail in the coffin.
The killer, when everybody talks about killer instincts, you put on a Jordan game and you can see the killer instinct game in every single game.
The game he had the flu. That's all you need to watch.
My favorite NBA game of all time, and I will just randomly just find it up on YouTube and just start watching it.
It's amazing to this day. To this day, I think that I would probably have to say, probably in my eyes, the best performance that you could ever see. Absolutely. I mean, yes, you've had your 70-80 point performances. Kobe's done that. But this is so far above.
It's all about that intestinal fortitude,
yeah,
and that desire and the not quitting.
Yeah.
You know, it's that fire inside that will overcome anything.
Right. And this is where the conversation then morphed over into past dream team versus now dream team, and who is better and who has the legends. And you know, we were talking about Tim Duncan versus Karl Malone, and you know, I mean, this is something that we talked about. Those players from those days to me are so legendary and so iconic that I don't know if anybody now can touch them. We got players that are trying. You got, aside from LeBron, aside from Kobe, because I think LeBron and Kobe do fit having their names mentioned with the Michael Jordans and the Magic Johnsons, and 100%.
Absolutely.
I don't know if there's anybody else out there now that deserves that. There are players
that Not yet. There's a bunch of players that have that potential.
Yes.
You were mentioning, I started throwing out a couple of names, and you brought up the good point of, well, they haven't done it yet. You got your Derrick Roses, your Kevin Durant.
Yes.
You know, you got a bunch of guys.
Those are two of the players. Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard. Even Carmelo Anthony, but Carmelo's a little bit different in the sense that he's had a career so far, and he hasn't won yet. And I think that's more a sign of who he is.
I agree.
He's a very talented player who just doesn't have – he's the epitome of, I guess, almost what's wrong with the modern game, in that there's other priorities for these guys.
I agree.
The notoriety and the fame and the off-the-court stuff is a distraction to really reaching the max potential of what a player is.
And that's what makes a guy like Kobe, in my eyes, above a guy like LeBron.
Without a doubt.
Because, I mean, obviously he has the titles on his resume. You know, he's got the MVPs. I mean, the one thing I hate the Lakers, which is funny because when I was growing up, you know, watching, you know,
Showtime
and stuff, that's where it was. But then when you become a Phoenix Suns fan, you just hate the Lakers. You hate right. them. It just happens. But I have a love-hate relationship with Kobe. I hate him when he plays the Suns because he hates us so much that dropping 40 on us is not enough. Yeah. He wants to drop 50.
And that's that killer – when you talk killer instinct, Jordan had it. And you and I in on the right over here were starting to compare Jordan and Kobe and how it's not – first of all, it's not fair to Kobe. Kobe's, I think, done enough in his career to allow himself to be Kobe Bryant and not have to be compared to Michael Jordan. They're different guys. They both have the killer instinct. If you had to describe them and compare them to me, Jordan was a guy who had more talent and had a very high drive and desire to kill. Kobe is a little bit less talented, obviously super talented still, but not a little bit less talented than Jordan, but has a little bit more drive, a little more killer instinct than
Jordan. Well, and you look at that drive and stuff, that's part of, you know, Michael Jordan's gambling on the golf course, you know, in the casino. You know, he has to be competitive at everything. I mean,
there's a love for winning, and then there's a desire to rip your freaking heart out.
And I think
Kobe is more on the dark side of rip your freaking heart out because he hates you.
I remember when Kobe used to give that throat slash sign.
Yeah, absolutely. And he meant it.
And though I'm different than most people. A lot of people, I don't like that, the showboating, the this, that. Hey, guess what? If you're that good, slash the throat.
Yeah.
It's like I always said with T.O. People always didn't like what he did and the touchdown dances. Hey, guess what? If you don't like him in the end zone, keep him out of it. Absolutely. You don't want him dancing on your star? Keep him out of the end zone.
I've never had a problem with showboating. If
sports,
you find your way into the end zone, then you earned it. And if you don't like it, like you said, stop him.
This is the way I look at it. Basketball, football especially, sports is a game of emotion. And those things come out.
Very much.
Your personalities come out. And if you have a killer instinct and you have, do it. Let it go.
You're asking these guys to play with intensity, to play with passion. Something good happens. Something exciting happens.
Now calm down.
Their blood is boiling. Of course they're going to celebrate. And they're going to go over the top.
My favorite celebration, though, is probably the most subtle celebration of all, is when Jordan hit... Well, there's two of them from Jordan. He hit a game winner, and
over
he just
Russell?
Turned around and did that with his fist. Just held his fist up, and then that was it. And the other one is in against Utah when he hit that 6-3-pointer, and he just shrugged his shoulders and he's walking. That love that stuff. I mean, that's what we're talking about. That's the kind of player that I don't think any of these guys that play now are.
And it's funny to see even the transformation in Jordan. He hits the game winner against Cleveland, and he's got the epic celebration where he's jumping up and down.
Yes, Mark Price in the background.
Yeah, it almost looks, if you're looking at the video, it almost looks like Jordan kicks a guy in the face. He's just so out of control, you know. But then you get to the point where he's hitting game winners, and he just gives you that subtle
fist. He just gives you that fist.
At that point, he just knows who he is, and he was expecting it.
There's no other player that will ever compare to him, and Kobe comes close. LeBron, to me, does not come close.
Yeah, LeBron grew up in an era that's completely different from Jordan, even from Kobe's standpoint.
Even from Kobe, yeah.
Where we've gone to a point with the media, with the following of high school sports, anybody who's got the potential to be even a breath within that caliber will have so many people kissing his ass and trying to hook him up and ballooning that head. He's going to have that sense of accomplishment, and I've made it, at age 19. At that point, you lose your drive.
You know what is funny? You mentioned that because I think it was Sports Illustrated this week just had a high school player, basketball player, on the cover who is the next, and I can't remember who they said. I don't think it was LeBron or so, you know, but I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about, you know.
You're having high school kids? I still remember when Kevin Garnett was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and I was floored. I was like, they're putting a high school kid on here? And then you never saw it again for years and years and years where another high school guy was on the cover.
Right.
Now it's like the yearly
they
thing.
They do it once a year.
They do it for baseball, basketball, and football. Yeah. Who's the next stud?
It's a different day and age with the media.
With the internet, with recruiting rankings. Kids already know that they're the top player in the class. They already know. They have so much accomplishment given to them, not earned, off projection, that a kid already feels like he's like.
Well,
he's
you know what else? You know what else? I think that hurts them growth wise and maturity wise as a person.
Absolutely,
man. When I was in high school, when you were in high school, this stuff didn't happen. You just went. If you were a good player, you were a good player. You got your pub in your local newspaper,
mm-hmm. and that was exciting.
And yeah, that was great to see your name in that. You know, and that's how it was. You know, it's not like that anymore. Not with YouTube, not with all the AAU tournaments, not with, you know, the traveling baseball all-star teams. And it's, you know, YouTube has revolutionized what the recruiting game is now and how these things happen. I mean, we were watching, and I'm a person that did it. I've been watching Barry Sanders Jr. high school highlights since he was a sophomore.
Noel Devine, I was watching him when he was a freshman.
Yeah.
I mean, Noel Devine didn't even get drafted in the NFL, and I already knew of Noel Devine from his freshman year in high school.
And I stopped watching these. There's been some videos out there from Pee Wee Leagues.
Some of those are fun to watch, though.
Dude, they are. No, they are. And there's some running backs in there that they just can't be caught.
Yeah.
And you got people on there talking about how this is the next Barry Sanders. No, he runs like Gale Sayers. No, he's eight.
Yeah, there's so much development to come. Trust me, I knew guys at that age, guys who were heads and shoulders better than everyone else.
And then everyone else caught up.
And then everybody catches up.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. E60 did a report mm-hmm. on Florida. I believe it was either Dade or Broward County.
That's shocking.
That all the betting that goes on in those games. Yeah. And betting on players, and not just betting on players, but going to players and giving them hundreds of dollars for every touchdown they score or sack. These kids are 8, 9, 10 years old. I mean, it's definitely different now with everything, and I think you see it more so in football and basketball than anything.
Well, yeah, they're the two biggest revenue-generating sports and the ones that bring in the most attention.
I definitely agree with that. You know, back to what we were talking about, these, you know, taking the two eras, you know, we could take the two dream teams, the original dream team, mm-hmm. you know, which you're looking at Magic and Stockton.
Okay.
Looking at MJ and Clyde Drexler. They only carried four guards on the team. That's it. Then they had Pippen, Mullen, and Bird, Malone, Barkley, and Leitner. And I always feel stupid mentioning Christian Leitner. Because he just never should have been on that team.
He has zero business.
Like,
I don't know if...
Couldn't we have put Dominique on that team?
Right.
I mean...
There's Isaiah is on
that. Yeah, how is Isaiah not on there?
Isaiah's a top 50 all-time player.
Yes. And then
top
they,
30 even.
And maybe. Then they're carrying David Robinson and Patrick Ewing.
Nice size.
I mean, you look that...
If that team decides to go big on you, go Magic, go MJ... Go
Malone, Barkley, Robinson, and Ewing.
Holy cow.
Whew.
Good luck getting a rebound.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I'm looking at. Me and my boy Nick, we were talking about who would win, and he said the players now would wipe up the players back then.
The players now have more raw talent just yes, because
athleticism.
Just because the training and development and the coaching starts at such an early time, and the training and nutrition, everything's gotten better. It always gets better with time as science develops. So the players in this modern era have more raw ability. But what you can't, what science doesn't do is provide that hunger that we've talked about, that
yep.
drive to win, the focus on fundamentals.
Well, that, you know, and that's what we were saying on the way here. I think the players are tougher back then, mentally and physically.
Yes.
I think that they are more cohesive team players back then, you know, because you also have to look at these guys that we just mentioned. They all went to college for 3 and 4
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't one and done. They weren't coming out after. I mean, look, Christian Laettner, 4 years at Duke,
yeah.
you know, which made them better fundamentally. And I think all of those things rolled in together. If you put this in a 7-game series, I think without a doubt the Dream Team of 84 is going to win it.
Yeah.
In a 1-game thing, coming out with the athleticism like you had brought up,
yeah.
you know, I mean, maybe the athleticism wins out in 1 game.
I agree.
But, I mean, if we start at the point guards, no matter who it is, whether it's CP3, D-Will, or even though Derrick Rose can't be on the team, you throw in D-Rose, who is going to match up with Magic Johnson?
You have to drag a forward out to guard Magic. You have to drag LeBron out.
People forget, you know, LeBron's getting all these triple doubles, and so is this person and that person. Yo, Magic was doing that a long time ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
A long time ago.
His career, I think he averaged just under 20 points a game, about a little over 11 assists, and about 7.5 rebounds.
I mean,
he was almost there.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so you have your matchup problem starting right there. Then you go to the guards area. Kobe and Magic are going to go, or Kobe and MJ are going to be on each other.
And MJ is going to love every second of it, because remember, in 92, you're talking about MJ just entering
yes.
the peak of his performances, and now you're talking to Kobe, who has God how many miles on him at this point.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to say the 2010 team, the 2010 Olympic team, by that time, Kobe's, you know, 32 years old,
yeah.
33 years old, but he's playing in a 37, 38-year-old body with his
oh, miles. Yeah.
He's been playing 100 games a season, if you throw in the playoffs, since his first year
yeah,
in the league,
exactly.
Since he was 18.
Exactly. You know, I think, and I think MJ toys with him the whole time.
And it, you know that
and enjoys
elevate,
it.
That will elevate MJ's game. To no end.
Oh, I agree. And then you take, you know, so say you throw D-Wade out there, and Clyde Drexler is going to end up playing. People forget how athletic Clyde was.
You forget how tall
yeah.
Clyde was.
6'7".
Clyde could have played.
6'7", 6'8"?
Could have been a three. He was 6'7".
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he could have been a legitimate three.
Without a doubt.
You know, he's just going to post him up. And obviously, just how smooth. You want to talk smooth?
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding me? Clyde.
You know what, in crossing sports here, remember how smooth Eric Dickerson was when he ran?
Oh, yeah.
That was Clyde Drexler on the basketball court.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. And all these kids now are going, who the hell are you people talking about?
Clyde the Glide.
Learn your history of your sports, people.
Clyde the Glide was the perfect nickname, because that's all he did. He was just smooth.
You know, and then you throw in, you know, they only have four guards. Apparently, this Olympic team, James Harden or Eric Gordon's going to be in it. I think it's probably going
to
be Harden.
You need to have an outside shooter.
You know, so...
The Chris Mullin of the group.
Yes, yes. Then you go over to the forward side of things. All right, well, the Dream Team has Pippen, Malone, Barkley, Mullen, and Bird to choose from, and Leitner. So pick your poison there. Somebody actually brought up the point of, you know, Tim Duncan and being the greatest power forward ever.
But he plays with the... he doesn't even play with... because he's Virgin Islands, technically.
Yeah. That's technically, yeah.
So
yeah,
he's
he
not
is.
Even eligible.
So he's not even eligible. So he wouldn't be there. So you have Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Which is nice. Which is... he's got a little magic in him in the sense of being a guard but having the height. So
I think what you go is you probably go Durant and LBJ at your forwards.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the Dream Team probably goes Pippen and Malone and Barkley rotating in there.
Yeah.
And then when they need some shooting, you throw in Chris Mullen.
Good luck pulling a rebound off the 92 team.
I mean, the matchups
beat you the hell down low.
Yeah. And then you go to the center spot, all right? You probably play Kevin Love down low. And then you have Dwight Howard, which he's not going to play. So you throw in Anthony Davis. Are any one of those three going to be able to do anything
Malone
against
and Barkley
Ewing,
will
Robinson?
Annihilate
exactly.
Them.
You know,
Barkley will eat their lunch. Barkley will be laughing his ass off.
Do you know that he was the leading scorer of that team? 18 points a game?
Barkley was?
Yeah.
I did not know that either
until today.
That's crazy.
You know, and we talked about Dwight Howard is a freak. Yes, he is a physical freak.
Yeah.
But
he's also an immature turd.
Exactly. Are you telling me one time Patrick Ewing puts Dwight on his ass?
One elbow.
That changes the game
one
right
elbow.
There.
Done.
And that's
the other thing we forget about this 92 team is all those guys were drafted probably about the mid-80s. So they played in that peak of the 80s era where basketball was freaking tough. Where guys
yeah,
were getting
Bill Laimbeer.
Are you kidding me?
This was
you want to talk toughness? Those guys have come through it all. They've
and,
seen
and
it.
And that's
all.
Where I'm saying the mental part of the game, these guys would run that to where I think it would be they'd win the series 4-1.
If the refs let them play?
Yeah.
Oh, forget about it. The 2010 team has no idea
I mean,
what they're getting themselves
it's,
into.
It's, I mean, just looking at everything. I mean, I will take those guys any day. Yes, I understand the athleticism. I understand the training, and that's all great. But when you get it on the court and you're playing basketball, I mean, they're the dream team for a reason.
Yeah.
And I just don't. And with that being said, I think you take a player like Kobe and you take a player like LeBron. They are players that fit on that original dream team.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd like to see some killer instinct from LeBron.
Would be nice, but again, LeBron's probably the one of the first guys to come from this modern era where the attention comes way too early.
Yeah,
you know, and so he's he already feels that sense of accomplishment at age 19. Are you kidding me? I had guys in my high school when he was still in high school wearing his high school jersey.
That's just
around.
Crazy.
It's
you know one thing that I wonder about LeBron is when he was in high school. I mean, he was head and shoulders above everybody in the nation, but he was still very much a team player, getting those assists out, getting those, making sure he's passing the ball. Do you think that in that period of time, he never really, and they were winning games by so much, he really didn't have to have that give me the ball at the end of the game instinct. Do you think maybe that is something that he never had it?
It might be. I mean, I'm sure that plays a part, definitely.
You know,
but he's never been a guy who, you know, in on a Tuesday night in August is locking himself up in a gym and working his butt off.
Right.
He's never done that. He's got all these other interests. He's got all these people around him that are asking him for things, pulling him in.
Well, and that's another
directions.
Thing going back to high school in August. He was in football camp in high school.
That's true.
Because people forget he was one of the top receivers in the nation.
That's true.
You know? So I think there's different factors with LeBron, but I think that he's been put into situations where he should have stepped up. Now he has in some spots taken that shot. But he's missed quite a few of those shots. Do you think that mentally?
Here's another thing. LeBron didn't grow up with a dad. Kobe had Jelly Bean this on his true. Butt 24/7.
Well, and
Kobe was exposed to basketball in Italy. I mean, Kobe's life was basketball growing up.
Right.
LeBron was raw talent, being raised really without a dad, without that male dominant figure to give you, to provide some of that. That killer instinct.
Well, and even MJ's dad was a very stern, dominating figure.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then you get a guy like MJ. His career was not handed to him. He got cut off his first team that he tried out for.
Right.
You know, I mean, he had to work at it.
Yeah.
You know, LeBron.
And still went to college for a couple of years under Dean Smith.
Yes.
You know?
And I think that's one of the other things that it comes down to is we go down this list of players that's on the now Dream Team, and there's not one player on that team that spent more than 2 years in college, except for...
Who did go to college for more than 1 year? Durant didn't, LeBron didn't, DeRozan
didn't. Dwight didn't. Kevin Love?
No, 1 year. One and out. He and Mayo were one and out. Every guy was one and out.
Blake played for two. Or did he play three?
He may have played three.
James stayed at ASU for three.
Yeah.
CP3 D-Wade
was out.
Yeah, CP3. Dwayne Wade, he is one that had at least 3 years because he went to...
And guess what? If you want to talk outside of Kobe, the most headstrong guy and the most alpha male and killer instinct guy you want the ball in your hands at the end of the game,
Dwayne.
I'm going to go D-Wade.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Now you look down the list of the old Dream Team: Patrick Ewing,
4 years short.
David Robinson,
Christian Laettner, 6 year commitment to the Navy.
Christian Laettner, yeah. Charles Barkley,
4 years.
Karl Malone,
yep.
Chris Mullin, Larry Bird.
Oh, can you name the college that Malone went to?
Karl Malone went to Louisiana Tech.
Yes, he did. Well done.
Thank you very much. I mean, Clyde Drexler. In fact, MJ is probably the one. How many years did he go?
Was it two?
Three? Two or three.
Two or three.
There's nobody on this team that's less than 3 years
yeah.
of college learning the fundamentals.
That's maturity. That's
yeah.
the, and
that's
those college what, coaches
back
are
then,
tough.
Yeah.
Are tough as hell. Are you kidding
I mean,
me?
And that's why I say those players could handle these players because they had that toughness instilled in them. They had the fundamentals. Yeah. And the fundamentals, people think, oh, the athleticism, we're going to run circles around these guys. Let me tell you something. Magic Johnson and his fundamentals would run circles.
Magic saw the play before it happened. Magic saw three moves ahead of him.
Always.
It's chess and checkers with these guys.
You know what's a shame is, you know, a lot of people don't pay attention to the history of the game.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, these kids nowadays, they never watch these guys play in their prime. Right. I guarantee you pick a Laker championship season when it was Magic and Kareem and Worthy. And who else was on those teams?
AC, it was a bunch AC of role Green, players.
Yeah, I mean...
Michael Thompson. You know,
even back Randis. To the days of Norm Nixon, Jamal Wilkes. Sit back and watch a couple Laker seasons, and you will come back and go, Magic Johnson is one of the greatest players ever to play this game.
Showtime was the fast break, because they ran the fast break
yeah.
flawlessly. That's why.
I mean, and then you look at the Celtics teams of those days. Bird. McHale, Parrish, Danny Ainge. I mean...
The definition of proper spacing and doing a good job of moving the ball inside and out. They had the inside presence and they had the outside presence.
I mean, and you take some of those Houston teams with Clyde.
Because
mm-hmm. he played for Houston for how yeah. long? It was a few years at least.
Oh, yeah.
Because he started out in Portland.
He was there about 2-3 years.
You know, him and Akeem.
Right.
And, you know, take some of those Portland teams that they had.
And Barkley was there, too.
Yeah. Chris Mullin and Tim Hardaway.
Run TMC.
I mean, you look at these guys. I don't think anybody's team now, if you put them up against those Lakers, those Celtics, those Rockets, those even 76ers.
And play those types of games.
And I don't think they win series.
No. You guys would be so lost.
I mean, look at the Gary Payton, Sean Kemp.
How many teams do we have in the NBA right now that don't know how to defend the pick and roll?
Probably 20.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a different game now. They are more athletic, but I don't think that they could beat the teams from back then in series.
I agree.
I mean, look at those Seattle teams with Peyton and Sean Kemp. And who?
Detlef Schrempf?
Yeah. Ah. Oh, dude, thinking back to childhood. I mean, that's that I wish people paid more attention to it because that was basketball.
God.
Basketball that was in the early basketball.
90s was so fun to watch.
Man, I remember when I was a kid, I got the very first year that Fleer put out the basketball cards.
Yeah.
And I had
93, 92.
God, it was probably a little bit before that.
Okay.
And the cards that were in there. And then when I was little, we had these NBA put out basketball cards that were about the size of your thumb.
I remember those.
And you had to break them off. They were perforated. I mean, that was when it was cool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I love basketball. It's fun to watch, but I don't think anything that's an era of basketball that unrivaled.
Absolutely.
To any era.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's what we were getting at with this is, you know, what would happen if these teams got together? You know, sure, CP3 is probably a little bit more athletic than Magic, but Magic's a 6'9" point guard that can post you up.
Who, in the finals,
played center
in a game.
In place of Kareem. Come on, people. Nick, come on. I know what you're thinking out there. Respect the history. You know, so that's a debate that could. I so wish Chelsea was here for that. I mean, even though she was like,
she'd have some fun.
I guarantee she, even though she was like zero when any of some of this stuff happened, she wasn't even born.
True,
but she will have an opinion. I wish she could have been in here on that. So, speaking of schooling things and stuff, let's talk some graduation rates right now.
Yeah, we just had graduation, might as well.
We did, and congratulations to all the graduates out there. Absolutely. College graduates, high school graduates. Three of my dancers just graduated high school. So
nice.
Yes, so I have three 18-year-olds on my crew, and they all just graduated, so congratulations to them. In fact, exactly today, Sky O'Grady, she was one of the graduates.
Nice.
And I think we found out she's our youngest girl. It's either her or Lexi just turned, are you ready for this, 18 in January.
Holy cow.
And I had Adriana turn 18 in December, and Sierra turned 18 in November, October. So that's, we got to get, you know, we are doing the same thing right now. We're the old school girls. It's time for them to move out, and I've recruited the younger girls.
Apparently.
So... But, I mean, you look, I mean, some of these girls stay with me for 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Right.
So,
phew. Nice job recruiting. Holy cow.
They like our program. And we, no violations, no nothing. At least that anybody knows about. But
why take Toby Bailey when Kevin Garnett's out there, you know?
Exactly. Let's talk about the graduation rate. I'm going to pull it up here real quick. Why don't you get us started on that?
Oh, so you sent me the numbers.
By the way, just Bootleg, I guess, puts out an annual graduation rate analysis of all three of the major sports with all of the graduation rates and all that.
So baseball, basketball, football.
Baseball, basketball, football. So this is where we're coming from, people.
So you showed me the link, and I was looking it over today, they're looking at the graduation rates. There's some that absolutely do not surprise you on the good end and the bad end. It's absolutely what you expect, what you hear, what you would assume would happen. But there are several schools that carry a certain reputation and have lately been following a certain trend. And the graduation rate is completely the opposite
of what you
your
would
expectation
think. Exactly.
would be.
Let's start with the Pac-12 football. Now, obviously, Stanford. Stanford's number one. They graduate 87% of their players.
Right. It's the only school, one of the only schools in America that whenever any school loses a recruit to a rival, they go, oh, well, it's because our academic standards are so much tougher, so the kid wasn't going to be able to get in. Stanford is one of the few schools who can legitimately make that claim every single time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All kids know if they can get into Stanford or not by Christmas.
Yeah, very true. You know, and I think this is one of the reasons why I think Stanford's becoming that school that these really good players, they strive to want to go to. You know, I mean, just because if you don't make it athletically, look what's going to be. Look what's backing you up with that degree.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you're a smart student athlete, that's what's on your mind.
It'll be interesting, though, what happens to Stanford, though, because I believe their AD just left to become the commissioner of one of the conferences. I forgot what conference it was.
You might be correct on that.
So it'll be interesting to see who they hire to replace.
We'll have to look that up.
If the standards change at all.
Right.
Because I guarantee you Stanford changed their standards just slightly over the last few years.
Right.
Since Harbaugh, to get a couple of those kids in.
Right. But probably not by much, though.
But not by much. I mean, Stanford is still Stanford, and they're never going to budge too much on right. their standards. But I guarantee you they skewed it just a tad to get a couple of those kids
right.
in. But it's not like they're bringing in a kid who, you know, brought in a 780 SAT.
Right. Well, you would think that their crosstown rival would do the same thing.
Well,
this is what we're getting
when
at.
When you think California Berkeley, what do you think? Do you think football, basketball,
first
baseball?
Thing that comes, think, you think first is academics.
Academics.
You know what I think? Wow, I could have never gotten that school.
You think science. You think engineers are coming out
right,
of that.
Right, exactly. Thing. Nobel Peace Prize, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what you think when you think of Cal.
And yet,
they are second to last in the Pac-12 in graduation rates.
I'm sure that's just a football thing. Even though Tedford a couple years ago was praising how he was going to have this academic plan put in place to take care of his guys, which, funny enough, he hasn't brought it up recently. But I'm sure it's just a football thing, right? I'm sure all other sports are better.
Well, you know, you would think that with Cal. When do you go to their basketball program?
I'm sure they're in the top three.
Well, if the top three was turned upside down, they would be in the top three.
That's unfortunate.
And in fact, they would be number one if the top three was turned upside down.
Holy.
Because they're last in the Pac-12 at 33%. Now, it's not like they're winning titles or turning out players that are going pro.
It's not like they're having a bunch of guys transfer out.
Yeah. So what's going on up there, Cal? Now, let's go to one more sport. And let's just kind of cruise down. In fact, when was the last good Cal basketball player? Lamont Murray?
Is that a trick question?
Kind of, because I can't remember anybody.
Ryan Anderson had a nice little season this year, but I'm not about to start calling him great.
Now, baseball.
Come on, Jason Kidd.
How long ago was that? And he 91. Did not graduate.
91?
He did. Okay, let's be honest here. Nobody knows how Jason Kidd actually got into Cal.
That's a fact.
That is an absolute fact, because he really should have gone someplace like
something that ended in state
or something that ended in JC.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we cannot include Jason Kidd. Now, baseball, they are number two behind Stanford.
Okay.
By the way, Stanford, 100% of their baseball players graduate.
Weird.
86% of Cal's baseball players graduate.
Okay.
So, but when you think of academic and not even just in the Pac-12.
Right.
And not even just on the West Coast. You think academic institutions.
If you're looking at the U.S. World News Report, every year when they do their rankings of institutions, Cal's always top 25, top 20, if not top 15, top 10.
Right.
That's who they are.
What do these athletes do? It's Berkeley.
Right.
Exactly.
I know athletics brings money into the programs, but have they been willing to slide in that many close calls?
Well, let's look at some of the players.
Even though they haven't even really won anything?
I mean, they're bringing in guys like DeSean Jackson, Javid Best.
Right.
Guys like that. Yep. But they did bring out Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but he came in from a JC, though.
This is true. Yes, he did.
It's not like he was a Nobel laureate.
Well, we already knew DeSean Jackson wasn't one of the brightest dudes on the face of the earth.
When you turn down USC, of course he's not bright.
Or you're doing somersaults into the end zone in a high school All-American game.
Yep.
So there you go. Yeah, I mean, I was really surprised at the Cal thing just as much as you were. ASU, they were third in the Pac-12 in graduation for football. Middle of the pack for basketball. Mm-hmm. USC, you know, about the middle of the pack for, you know, for all of the sports, pretty much.
Yeah. Although the rest of the sports, the non-revenue sports, do pick it up for USC. They do a very good job.
In fact, we do have all student athletes. Let's see. Where are we at here? Oh, I didn't even see that one. Grad rates for African-American football players in selected schools.
Yeah, that report broke it down real deep.
Yeah, I don't know how I missed that. But USC's, you know, they have a good graduation rate. Yeah. Let's talk about another one of our Pac-12 brethren.
So, you got Mr. Byrne over at Arizona. He's got some good momentum. I've met the guy. Real
very
good guy.
Charismatic.
Very composed, charismatic, knows what he's talking about. Came from Mississippi State. He did good things over there. He seems to be building momentum over there.
Right.
You know, he seems that he has that ship going in the right direction, a good, clean program, doing things right, and building winners within all their programs.
Except they're not winning.
And
they're obviously not going to class. Because U of A is last in the Pac-12 in football graduation rate at 48%. Then you go all the way down to basketball, and they are third from the bottom, which USC and Cal are last on that one.
And USC, I know we've had just guys coming in and out. Transfers have been
ASU's had that too.
Crazy.
ASU's middle of the pack. They've had that. Yeah. But U of A, 43% of your basketball players graduate. And then a very interesting number, because this is low, people. You have their baseball graduation rate is 19%. In fact, they're only above one team in the Pac-12, and that's Oregon, and they're only above them because this is the first year they've had baseball.
Right.
So the second to last team is Washington State at 51%. 19%?
Holy cow.
19%.
That's absurd. And you can't say because it's guys coming after their junior year, because ASU has just as much talent, if not more, coming out of that school.
Without a doubt, by the way, Cole Calhoun, the 100th Arizona State baseball player to reach the major leagues. That's huge. Way to go, Cole. I still remember his World Series that he just, I mean, he was monster in that. We didn't win, of course, whatever. But here we go. The bottom 10 grad rates for all athletics in major programs. Last on the list is U of A.
That's
last.
Embarrassing.
That real Tucson. I cannot wait till all my little Tucson friends start yep, yep, yapping, because I am going to put this link on everybody's page. Really? You got a better school than us? First of all, you don't win at anything, and you don't graduate anybody. Shut up. It's the best thing that I've ever seen. And I don't care if we don't have any basketball titles up here. I don't care when the last time we won a College World Series. I don't care that we haven't won a national championship in football. This makes me happy.
And you can't tell me that if you're going to have a quality basketball program that you can't graduate guys, because you got Kansas graduating
91%.
Almost every single guy.
And Kansas had four players leave early last year. But yet 91% of their players graduate. Come on, man.
You can't tell me that it can't be done right.
Well, I mean, look at
Duke
some of the players.
Duke is 100%.
Exact. Creighton University, back home from me, they're 100%. Let's look at some of the players they've had. Mike Bibby, not very bright. Miles Simon, this can of tea is brighter than he is. I mean, who's the last? Oh, Derek Williams?
Yep.
Come on.
The Jet. Jason Terry.
Yeah. I mean, we could go on and on and on. Yeah. But this makes me very happy. I love seeing
sure
this.
It does.
Tucson. You know, we haven't talked about it. UCLA is not exactly shiny numbers over here.
No, especially
on the
football side.
Your hated team, yeah, they're just right above U of A. Now, basketball, they're up 75%. Yeah. You know, so they have it going on there. And then for baseball, we have, where are they at for baseball? It's 70%. But at UCLA, the only thing that matters is football.
Yeah, football. But yet, every time they lost a recruit to us, they would claim academic standards.
Oh, is
funny.
That how?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Trust me, we got real tired.
I'm looking at numbers right here, the academic standard thing. The academic standard thing is not working out because you guys are three teams ahead of them on the graduation rate.
Pretty much.
You know, I mean, that's... Yeah, we got to bring that. We're academic people over here, you know. We got to bring it up.
You are an academic institution. You do. You have to maintain that somewhat.
I mean, let's look at it this way: U of A graduates 48% of its football players. What's the graduation rate altogether for a college? I mean, if you're looking at 48%, you're probably not happy.
You're probably looking at 85% of your classes.
You know what, though? I'm wondering that for something, say a school like ASU, Texas, Florida State, where those people come and party the first 2 years and then they're gone.
Yeah. I believe USC's is 87%.
That's a pretty good percentage right there.
Yeah. Of their general student population.
Well, U of A, I'd like to thank you once again for proving on your own, instead of me having to do it for you, that you guys are a bunch of losers and your school sucks. So this is why we probably don't have any listeners in Tucson, because we have been ripping on them for 2.5 years. We had three
not doing too well in Tucson.
We had three listeners in Tucson last year, and they don't listen anymore. But whatever. Let's just say we won't be doing any road shows in Tucson. So, but that being said, that comes to the conclusion to this week's Out of Bounds show with Jay and Gabe. And we do have a couple other subjects we're going to talk about again. There was a great story in the ESPN magazine by Peter Keating about Junior Seau's suicide that we're going to delve in a little bit deeper on the NFL players and concussions and depression and things like that, because it's a good article. I'll probably post it up on the Out of Bounds page.
There's so much more looking into the past that's important, and so many you know, hypotheticals and things to look forward to into the future on how you remedy the situation, because the situation is only going to get worse and not better if drastic steps aren't taken.
Yeah. I mean, from here on out, the game of football changes.
Absolutely. It has to.
And from here on out, the talent that plays football, you know, they always say, you know, a lot of, and I've heard this before, that, you know, there's not enough African Americans in baseball.
Yeah.
We might see an upswing in that.
You, as more and more studies start coming out, and remember, the NFL right now is working on their study, their first legitimate study into concussions. Once all that research comes out, you may have a lot of parents start swinging their kids into
football,
the
or to basketball,
sports.
Baseball. Absolutely. You know, I mean, that guy that's that LeBron James that's, or you know, a football player that's 6'9", 320 pounds. Well, maybe his parents keep him down to about 6'9", 260, and he's a power forward.
Correct.
You know.
Correct.
I mean, we're going to see a lot of stuff, not just with football, about these concussions, and we talked about it on Hard Hitting, that MMA. You know, Chelsea and I have talked about it. MMA is going to have a problem with this in the future. I did a little research this week on WWE wrestling and all that. And there's a website, and it goes through all of the wrestlers that have died all the way back since the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And you look at 75% of these were drug overdoses or suicides.
I was going to say that the interesting case about WWE is not only the physicality of it, but also obviously just the performance enhancing drugs.
Yes, that
were
too
involved. Combine those factors, and that leads to an ugly ending.
Well, and then you add in the factors. Same with the NFL players, when these guys are done wrestling because they can't, because of the injuries that they have or whatever. They were in the spotlight 4 or 5 nights a week, and now they're not. How does that affect them and the depression and everything? You know. So I think that this just isn't a football topic. This is a physical sport topic.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And it's one that, you know, we will delve into it a little bit further. And we'll probably wait for Chelsea to come back, because I know she's got a lot of good input on it, too. And we'll probably talk a little bit to Ray Ellis about it, you know, because he was friends with Dave Duerson. You know, so he's got some good input with that. So, you have anything left to add?
No, I think we touched on the topics that we wanted to hit on, and definitely I look forward to that discussion, because it's serious stuff,
And it really
it's
is.
Only, it's not an issue that's going to be going away anytime soon.
Well, you know, it's we've been bred on physicality and the manliness of things, and you know, they didn't have those studies back then, and now that they're coming up, it's going to be interesting to see where these sports go.
We love the bigger, faster, stronger.
But, yes,
but we're human, and it comes to a point where. We're bigger, faster, stronger, but the equipment hasn't caught up
right
to the speed of the game, to the power of the game. And so either the equipment steps up big time, or we have to find ways to modify the game and right. make it a little more safe, because there's some
major. Do you think the equipment can catch up?
There's always science. There's always something that can be done. But I think this is going to be more of a... we're going to have to tweak the way we play the game a little right. bit.
Right. And everything changed the way, you know, boxing, MMA, wrestling. Not that wrestling's a sport, but, I mean, they're athletic.
I mean, car collisions keep happening, and so we've added airbags, but it doesn't mean that car collisions are safe now.
Right.
You know, a car collision is a car collision, and those guys get into 30 of them every Sunday.
Yep. I mean, they know what they're getting into. They know this.
They do, but I don't know that they fully understand the long-term
effects. I think people are starting to.
Absolutely. It's opening a lot of eyes.
It is. And that's a subject we'll get into later. So we're at shout-outs now. I am going to give a shout-out to my Event Vibe crew, because I have put them through the ringer for the last month. And so I'm going to give a shout-out to them, all my DJs, new photographers, dancers, all that. Give my shout-out to John and Dan over at Wild Night. Love that place. Good guys. So, give a shout out to my pops. My pops just got his dream car.
Nice.
He just finally got his first Corvette.
Oh, nice.
He's always wanted a Corvette.
Tell me it's cherry red.
No, it actually isn't. It's white.
Oh, white. Nice.
Yeah. And it started out because he always wanted a Harley.
Okay.
So he got the Harley, and we all figured that eventually mom was going to strike him down from above, because that was a no. And he realized that maybe the Harley wasn't, you know, my 62-year-old pops just didn't really need a Harley. So he decided to sell the Harley and get himself a nice Corvette. So give a shout out to my pops for his good car.
Congratulations. So, that's awesome.
And as far as everybody else, I'm not shouting anybody out. Actually, I'm shouting out the Wig Mafia. I got to shout out Petey and Brock. Those guys got a music video tonight I'm going to go check out.
Nice.
They might even be writing me some little lyrics to get in their next video.
Oh, nice!
I can spit a little rhyme.
I'd like to hear this. I definitely need to hear this.
We may. So who do you got your shout outs for?
Of course, you know, picking back in on you, I'm definitely everybody at Wild Night, John and Dan, and our entire staff, the bartenders, the cocktail girls. We're almost coming up on our 1 year anniversary, and it's been a hell of a year.
One of the best years I've seen a club have in their first year.
It's been a blast, and to be honest, it's changed my life quite a bit. I mean, it's facilitated so much for me, and I've had just so much fun in this town with that place. And I'm going to throw a shout out to Delish, right off Scottsdale, just south of Thomas. There, I find myself having about 5 meals a week there.
Really,
and I cannot get off the Breakfast Buzz smoothie. There, it is one of the most delicious things I've ever had.
What else do they have there?
Oh, they have some sandwiches and wraps there that are really freaking good. I completely recommend it.
I am gonna have to. I'm
Very
gonna have to check that place out.
Oh, you've never been?
No, I haven't.
Oh my goodness.
Huh.
Oh, that, yeah. I'm dragging your ass there.
Hey, I have no problems with this. I have no problems with this at all. Anybody else you got there? Special loved one in your life?
Nah.
Any. Random New Orleans hookup? Nothing?
No. I had a couple buddies that did it. I was not that impressed with the talent out there, surprisingly.
New Orleans, I love you as a city.
Yeah. Will I go
pick
back?
Up your yes. talent level?
Yeah.
All the talent comes from other cities.
And feel free to hang a couple air fresheners on Bourbon Street, because that kind of reeks.
Well, you want to? We don't get to see the talent in New Orleans, because the talent in New Orleans doesn't go down to Bourbon Street.
No. And it's not from New Orleans.
Yeah.
It's all out-of-towners, if there's any.
Yes. Which does make it easier.
But still, great place, great food.
Great, yeah.
Keep throwing that butter and cream into every damn dish, because it's awesome.
I'm telling you, we got to go there a weekend and just have it be a football weekend. Go catch a game in Baton Rouge and then head out and watch a game at the Superdome.
Absolutely.
One of the best weekends I've ever had. It was actually a weekend that Florida came into town, and they were ranked number one at the time.
Oh.
And that stadium, dude, they told like 106,000 people.
Yeah.
I thought there was an earthquake. And we were sitting in the president's suite, and I thought the whole thing was coming down. But I will tell you this. I love my Arizona girls. Arizona State has the hottest girls in the country. I put Texas up there. I put Florida State up there.
Yeah.
I definitely...
Weird. All schools that I applied to.
Huh. How about that?
Weird how that happened out.
The only one... I didn't apply to Texas. I didn't apply to Texas.
I did.
And I applied to ASU, so that was there. I applied to Florida State. I also applied to Georgia. And I didn't apply to LSU, but if I had known the talent that is at LSU, it's definitely they are in the top five.
I did.
Probably top four.
And I'm very glad I did not apply to LSU, because then I'd have to root at one point for Nick Saban and another point for the Grass Eater, which I just can't.
I think you are perfectly fine being a Trojan. In fact, your Trojan people crack me up. I've gained Trojan friends because of your Facebook. I'll comment on something and they'll jump in. So I think it's a good, healthy rivalry between USC and ASU. So with that being said, we're going to give a shout out to Dino Mangino, Todd Allen, Charging Life Studios. I want to thank you guys for letting us have your studio every week. We're going to get Todd in here on a show, and he's going to talk about his bike trek that he's got coming on. So he's kind of a maniac with that. So, but with that being said, we will be back next week. Still no Chelsea, but that's all right. We'll hold it down. We got this.
Elbow deep in steak right now.
Yeah, I mean, she's not mad. Trust me.
Wouldn't mind being elbow deep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's not mad. So with that being said, everybody, you guys have a good week. Thank you very much for your support. If you have any questions, email me at j@outofbounds.com. Follow us on Twitter at outofbounds, OUTTABOUNDZ. And same thing for our Facebook. Check us on there. And Gabe, you're on Twitter.
That I am, at Gabe Alvarez, GABEALVAREZ.
And he is rather entertaining.
Sometimes.
Well, you know, whatever. And that's all. That's it for us this week. We will catch you guys later. Thanks a lot. And in Chelsea's words, peace.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Far too kind.